I hope you enjoyed your 2-22-22 yesterday, but it's time to get started.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
ATA Nation, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Senior Master Zach Hayden, and this is episode 44. I cannot believe it. It has almost been an entire year. We started off going every other week, and we went to every week, and it's almost been a week. It's a week. Oh, man. It's almost been a full year since the first episode. Super exciting. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't hear, yesterday, if you are listening to this podcast the day it came out, was 2-22-22. And I saw some places did some really cool things on this date. One of our local elementary schools did, and I think high schools maybe even too, let you wear a tie or a tutu. I really like the idea of a tutu for 2-22-22. Did your martial arts school do anything different, anything fancy for the day? I did not. And now I'm kicking myself a little bit for it. I wish we had done something super cool for this momentous day. If your martial arts school did something special for February 22nd, 2022, let me know what it was. Send me a text, 260-250-3975. I would love to hear what you guys did. Now, we have another great episode all about legacy, kind of going through the process and where it brought this individual in his training, now running a location. So super cool, very exciting. Let's get right into the interview today.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us today Mr. Nathaniel Morrow. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am wonderful. It's always great to talk to somebody else in ATA Nation. Now, we're doing a kind of a series on students who have gone on the instructor path, helped in classes, become an instructor at their school. And if I'm not mistaken, you've made the jump all the way to having your own club or school. Is that correct?
That's right.
Awesome. So let's start. How did you get started in martial arts originally?
So I had dabbled in martial arts a little bit when I was in college, but I hadn't been doing anything active for a long time. And basically, I was overseas and I got a call from my wife that my daughter Jasmine had won some free martial arts lessons and that they were going to jump in. So I was along for the ride.
Ah, so another one of those parents that joined when their kids joined situations.
Yes.
And it sounds like then if you are, you know, an instructor now, that you fell pretty far into the rabbit hole then.
I honestly didn't expect it to turn out that way. When I was watching the class for the first time, I saw people breaking boards and sparring and stuff like this. And I really thought like, oh, I'm not going to like this. I'm not going to like getting kicked in the head. I'm not going to like hitting the board. But those are my favorite things. And so, yeah, it was transformative for me because it made me realize things about myself that I had assumed were different.
Oh, really? So what are a few of those things that martial arts helped you kind of realize about yourself?
So first of all, I had never really been very good at sport. Mm. And so I had always thought of myself more as an intellectual. And so I had really pushed hard on those parts of my personality that relied on my smarts, you know, my charming personality, that sort of thing. And so when it came to like physical stuff, I always just thought of myself as, oh, I'm not that guy. And so when I started doing martial arts, I started doing things that I didn't realize I could do. And then I was like, oh, I am that guy. I am both of these guys. It's just I had never really found the outlet that made me feel comfortable and confident with myself to be physical and to do those physical things.
Well, that's awesome, especially because we hear that kind of thing a lot from our younger students. You know, it gives mm-hmm. them an outlet and whatnot. But it's so important to hear from adults that that same thing happens for them as well.
Yes. And just, you know, for people to know, I was in my 40s when I started this.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
And so I was pretty far along the path of, oh, this is who I am. And now it was like, oh, well, I'm all this other stuff, too.
What a great discovery. I mean, you know, just if you hadn't learned that, what you would have been missing, you know?
Right.
So exactly. I assume this led you along the path to then join the Legacy program at some point. How did you start to think about like, hey, maybe teaching, maybe learning to teach this stuff might be fun?
Well, my career had been teaching. So I've done teaching in various forms all throughout my life. And the owner of the school where I was training basically was like, hey, you know, we're going to do a quick seminar this weekend. And he started to talk about, you know, who's interested in maybe teaching one day, who's interested in maybe owning their own school one day. And we were. And this was like pre-legacy program
yes, sir.
At that school. And so it was kind of, you know, off the cuff sort of training until they started talking about, oh, well, this new program's coming on board. It's the Legacy program. And then it became really serious.
And what as a someone who's taught for most of your life, what did you think about the Legacy program? What did you learn from that experience going through that?
For me, it was pretty amazing because so many of the skills that I had learned to like work with a classroom, work with individual students were transferable. And so I felt very comfortable in that. And it was mainly just the material that I was teaching. And so while I feel like I had a lot of the skills, the dynamic of teaching in the martial arts class was very different. Because I came from a classroom background, and it's very much okay.
Yeah, they're not kicking each other while they're doing it or right. anything like that.
And you got to get, okay, everybody sit still and, you know, listen to the lecture and this sort of thing. And so what I really loved about it was that it was, you still need to get your students to sit still, but you're letting them know, okay, you just need to sit still for like 10 seconds because I'm going to let you know what we're doing and then we're going to go. And I really love that because the students they're so engaged and just it's so much fun.
Well, and it's so neat for me to hear, and I think for a lot of people out there to hear that the Legacy program, you know, the way it's laid out, the things they're teaching are transferable. It's what you learned for teaching mm-hmm. in the world already. You know, a lot of people think of martial arts is just another sport and just another activity. But those skills that you're learning are things that even if you decide not to teach martial arts are so useful outside yeah. of the school.
And I like that because, well, you know, I spent tens of thousands of dollars on my master's degree and the skills that, well, I have learned, my wife has also joined me in Legacy, and my daughter is also in Legacy now. And the things that we're learning are applicable everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to get up in front of a group of people and not just talk to them. You know, what I hear is public speaking is the number one fear of adults all across the country. And not only to conquer that and get up in front of people and talk, but also to be commanding and to say, okay, I know where I'm going. Follow me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. What an important skill. I mean, there's so much in life, you know, that you can thrive with if you are able to do those kind of things.
Yes.
So you learn to teach. You know, you were teaching before. You were in the Legacy program. You started, I assume, then started teaching for your instructor. Is that what happened?
Yes. And it was an interesting transition because at that time I was training at one school, and then another school had changed ownership locally and were looking for people to assist. Mm. And so they asked me to do that. And so I was training a couple of nights a week at one school and teaching a couple of nights a week at the other school. And that was a lot, let me tell you.
That's, yeah, especially I assume you had a full-time job or something on top of that.
Yes, yes.
How was, and go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, so we came up with a plan to transition from doing the split duty to doing everything all at one place.
And that probably made it a little bit easier, at least to, you know, travel and mm-hmm. stress-wise.
Yes.
Then how did you go about balancing the regular full-time job and teaching martial arts? I know a lot of adults especially are like, oh, I can't teach because I've got this full-time job. Mm-hmm. How was your experience in trying to balance those things?
Let me think back on that time. The main thing was it was my passion. Mm. So the work part of my day was the requirement. Going and doing the teaching and working with the students after that, it didn't feel like more work for me. It felt like, yeah, this is what I'm here to do. So the other part is just, you know, what I do to make sure I'm paying the bills.
Yes, sir. So at some point through this, you decided to open a school, open a club. What was that process like? You know, you go from, hey, I joined with my daughter. I'm not a physical, you know, person. Get all into it. Start teaching. What made you decide, like, hey, let's do this?
Well, it was always a piece of the vision. So as I mentioned, with education all throughout my work history, when I looked at this and I heard, oh, you know, this is an option. You could be the guy who owns the school and, you know, runs the curriculum and teaches the students and everything. That just, it felt right. And so as I had, you know, moved through the process with doing the training, getting the collar, it continued to feel right. And so it was like, yeah, this is the right path for me. And so I transitioned from having a day job elsewhere to working full time at my senior's karate school. And awesome thing, his name is Master Carson Clues. And the awesome thing about him is right from the beginning, he and I set goals. And so he always knew my goal was to run my own ship. Mm. And so that was also his goal. His goal was to you know, make sure that his school was prospering, but also to make sure that I had all the skills and confidence that I needed to strike out on my own.
Well, that's great. Master Clues is a good guy. I was I've talked to him many times. Gotten to take one or two of his or one of his classes that he did for the ATA Thrive thing for school owners.
Oh yeah.
So good guy. So did you then transition to? So you went from your regular day job to doing the martial arts thing full time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then did you go to a club first? You go to a school first? What was the process there?
I went to a club first. Okay. And one of the things that Master Clues often says to me is, you got to take action before you think you're ready. Mm-hmm. And so that year I had, the family had always been doing tournaments and stuff. And that year I had placed high enough that I was invited to the world championship. And so I was at Worlds and ATA was doing their stuff. And I was at a, licensee discovery seminar. Mm. And so they told me all about the process and how that worked. And, you know, I got to meet other people who were also looking down that road and seeing where their future was going to be. And I just made a decision like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I signed up and got the license. We had been already scouting locations and oh my gosh, that's a whole thing, like making sure you know where you want to be geographically and what kind of community you're looking for, who you're trying to serve. And I'll tell you one thing that I did not realize, because we decided we were going to be a club to begin with, because we were starting from zero. The finding a location that is suitable where you can expand was something that we anticipated. And so I feel like we navigated that well. But we're getting to the point. Oh, and we started just pre-COVID. So we started
perfect timing.
In 2019. So we had a whole year to kind of get ourselves up and running. And then we had the weird time. And so we pivoted to online classes exclusively, because that was what was going to serve our community the best. And we were on online classes for like 16 months.
Oh my.
Before we could get back into live classes. And now that we're back into live classes, actually we're jumping, you know, so things are really moving for us. And we're starting to look at, okay, so how do we transition from a club where we're renting out space, you know, month to month, to a permanent location? And that in the town that we are in is extraordinarily challenging because there's just not that much space available because of the way that they have, you know, organized themselves. And it was something that didn't even occur to me to ask, like, will I be able to find a place to lease, or will I be able to find commercial property to purchase? And it's like, okay, yes, but it's few and far between there.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, no, that's a whole new level of challenges. And it sounds like you've done a really good job. A lot of individuals that go through the legacy program decide that they want to teach. That's what they want to do. And some decide they want to jump out, and they're like you said, they want to have their own boat. But that does come with these additional things, you know, leases and rents and bills. And it sounds like for you, that was a decision that worked really well for you. And that kind of stuff is still within your wheelhouse, or something that you're ready to take on. And some people decide like, hey, I just want to work for somebody else because I get to do what I love and I don't want to do those other things.
Right. There's another employee who works for Master Clues, and that was always his vision. Like, I might be interested in managing a school, but it's not my vision to own the school. And so that was his pathway, and that's the thing that Master Clues has been training him to do.
And I think that's important for people to know that, like, it's not, it doesn't have to, you know, you can join a legacy program and just learn the material so that you're better in the workforce or better at the career you're going to have. You can learn it to then work at a school part-time, full-time, or you can go off, own a club, turn it into a school if you want, keep it a club. You know, there's so many options there.
Yeah. And you mentioned Thrive earlier. This is something I found has been super helpful because, for example, when I went and got my degree, it was like, okay, your degree's done. Thank you. You know, there's some job placement assistance, but we're done with you now. We're working on the next crop. And what I've loved about ATA is they have all of these seminars, this ongoing education where you can learn about anything. So it doesn't matter if you're like, I just want to teach a couple of nights a week. You know, it's kind of a hobby, or I really want to become a professional instructor, or I want to own my own business. All of those things are covered in depth by people who are out there doing those things.
Yes, sir. I mean, it is really one of those great things that came out of COVID, though COVID was certainly no fun. You know, I've owned my first school for this year will be 20 years, you know, and there at the beginning, you know, the only trainings you got to do were at Worlds or Nationals or something, you know, every once in a while, somebody would come to the region, you'd do something through COVID. And then now even post COVID, or I who knows? We're not necessarily post-COVID. You know, there's training, continuing education every single week for people who want it, which is an amazing benefit for all of us that are doing this as some kind of career of some sort. So what goals do you have for your club looking to become a school? Where are you now? And what do you look at accomplishing?
So we obviously have financial goals. Mm-hmm. And so we're keeping track of our billing. In the long run, my goal is to be working alongside my wife full time, both of us in the school and having our own location. My daughter is a teenager now, and so she has been teaching our Tiger classes. And as far as that goes, she's been doing a great job, and she's interested in continuing to do that for a while. So it's kind of a small business, family business, which is really exciting for me.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, as our numbers grow, we're looking to be able to expand our offerings.
Yes,
sir. And that's been... For me, that's been the hardest thing of being a club, because I know that there are people out there and they like, okay, club is my thing. And I do these classes and that's the extent of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm really interested in, you know, offering some specialty classes and doing more seminars and doing, you know, these extracurricular pieces, because I really enjoy the depth of material that there is to offer. And without owning our own location, it's difficult to schedule that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a challenge. That's so cool to hear your story, kind of the evolution of how things have gone. I love, you know, I mean, just the idea that you started, you know, as an adult, you know, not a necessarily a sports guy or whatever, you know, learned that this passion was there. And look, you know, I mean, now you're changing lives in your community, looking to expand into the full school. I love to see stories like this, especially utilizing, you know, the skills that people have learned in the legacy program. So, awesome to hear your story, sir. What advice would you give to somebody, you know, maybe it's an adult, who's just like, hey, you know, is this really something I could do? Could I teach part time? Could I just, you know, come in and help? Or, you know, I'm too old for that, or I can't do that.
Already. There are many people that I could point to that have been inspired, because I have said many times, if I can do it, anybody can do it, because it's not easy. It's just a matter of perseverance. It's a matter of believing in yourself. And the thing that is so transformative about all of this is that there were things that I believed were impossible for me. And I did the impossible. And you can imagine how much confidence that can bring to a person to do something that they believed for themselves was impossible. Mm. And so my advice would be, put your toe in, okay? See if it's for you. Then take another step. And if you're still having a good time, keep on down the path.
Yes, sir. Oh, I love that you said, you know, something that you thought was impossible. I seem to remember there's a phrase or something. what was that? Today not possible.
Today not possible, tomorrow possible.
Exactly. It just comes back over and over again. What a wise man Eternal Grandmaster was. Mr. Morrow, I greatly appreciate your time today. What an inspiring story. Thank you very much, sir, and continued success on your journey.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
What a great story. Really excited to see where Mr. Morrow continues to take things. Congratulations to his instructor on helping Mr. Morrow find this path, helping him continue on and build this ATA legacy. Ladies and gentlemen, Super cool. I hope you guys have been inspired by these stories. All different places. We've had stories of people who have become school owners, people who are just working part-time or even just for fun in a local school and working full-time at a local school. All different things you can do with the amazing training from the ATA Legacy Program. If you haven't taken the time to investigate this or maybe commit to being a legacy member, it might be something you want to do. Hopefully these stories have been inspiring to you. I have really enjoyed hearing them. And next month, we're on to a new topic. What is it going to be? I don't know. You have to wait and stick around to find out. That's going to wrap up our episode today. Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, you are out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
I'll give you a sneak peek of what we got coming on pretty soon. There might be a Grandmaster on one of our future episodes. I was talking to one just the other day. We just got to make sure our schedules connect. It's going to be good. You guys hear all these news about different events? I can't tell them all right now. We're going to have a whole episode about some of them. Maybe next week. We'll talk to you then.